chapter 37. You know, with all the complexities of life circumstances as we bear witness to tonight, the fears of the unknown, in physical dilemmas and the uncertainties that are a part of that, and the discomfort sometimes of social awkwardnesses and other assorted distractions and pressures and various kinds of irritations that Christians will frequently find challenging. We may never, of course, literally have to face down a Sennacherib. He's the one of the principal characters in the chapter at hand. He's described in the fourth verse of chapter 36 as a great king. A great king. Not an observation made by an impartial, non-biased observer, but one of his own. A great king. Who he came and laid siege to God's people. Again, he said a great king, and according to what we read in this 37th chapter, verse number 2, he leads a great army. Great king, great army. And so what is a Hezekiah to do? And what is he or she to think? Well, in the 37th chapter, verse 1, it says he went to the house of the Lord. He sent messengers to the prophet. So far, so good. I mean, if you're wanting to know what a guy in Hezekiah's position will do when facing a Sennacherib or a Sennacherib-like circumstance. Well, this Hezekiah and we as well do well to seek out the Lord and obtain directions from him. And is getting started in this little pursuit tonight. We might be well served to call to mind some well-traveled passages in Scripture, like at Philippians 4 and verse number 6, where be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Not even a Sennacherib. He was going to cause Hezekiah and the people there some great difficulties. Then you might think of what the Apostle Peter tells us in his epistle, chapter 5 and verse 7. Cast all your care upon him. He cares for you. Cast all your Sennacheribs on him. And then, of course, we can do that because we can have confidence, absolute confidence. Moses records in Genesis 18, verse 14, this question. He says, anything too hard for the Lord? And, of course, the answer we give to come back with is resoundingly no. Not even Sennacherib, a great king leading a great army, coming to lay siege to a great city. While we may never have to literally deal with an individual like that, there may be circumstances that we might find particularly the same kind of trouble. We can, however, like Job and the psalmist, Job said, in circumstances like he was facing, I would seek God and unto God commit my cause. So there's Hezekiah, Sennacherib all around the city, a great army. He commits his cause to God. And of course, knowing the disposition and inclination of the Lord that, is true whether Old Testament or New Testament, Isaiah said, you know, it should come to pass, that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. This is why and just note this, this is exactly why the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. Why? Well, because God hears the prayer. It has nothing to do with the prayer. It has everything to do with he who answers. So as we commit our Sennacheribs to the Lord, God intervenes. I want to show you here in Isaiah 37, at the 14th verse. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord, spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord. So he receives the letter. He heads to the house of God. He begins his prayer. That's a very wise thing to do when facing a Sennacherib-type situation. And as we look down through this, he approaches the Lord with great reverence. In verse 16, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, that art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. So in verse number 17, we read, Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear, and open thine eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib. And you know what he does? I think a sobering lesson to any person, generally speaking, but even elected officials or people in places of great responsibility, if they would take knowledge of the fact that every word they speak, God hears. Every word. That would sober them up, I would think, if they really grasped that circumstance. But this is a prayer that he makes. Hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. That's what his primary concern was. I mean, in chapter 36, when the great king of Assyria sends his messengers, one of the points that he repeatedly made to the residents of Jerusalem was, you know, don't listen to Hezekiah. Don't let Hezekiah persuade you to trust your Lord. I mean, every place else we've been, there's not been one God that we haven't conquered. So if you think you will find safety at the altar of your God, forget it. And other statements like that implying that Hezekiah's God was just the same, on the same level as all of the other ites that preceded, stood in the way of Sennacherib on his way to Jerusalem. And so Hezekiah in his prayer says, hear all the words of Sennacherib. Hear all the words that he says. Now, God does hear. If I look down there in verse number 21, 22, Isaiah the son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. He goes on to say, you know, God hears, he resolves. A greater king hears the words of a lesser king, and he determines to do something, I think, very significant in verse number 29. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into my ears, therefore I will put my hook in thy nose. I will put my hook in thy nose. And so you think about that for a minute. Verse 33 says, it gives us a therefore. Therefore he shall not come into the city. I mean, that's why he's laying siege there. And God reassures Hezekiah, I'm going to put a hook in his nose. He's not going to come into the city. His great army will be devastated. He will depart the scene. And when he arrives home, according to the latter part of this chapter, he dies. He dies. And so we ask, is there anything too hard for the Lord? I mean, here you have a great king. A great king. And I would imagine that he was a great king by his own estimation. Had a great army. It's one of the things that, if you remember back in the early 90s, what's his name? Saddam Hussein. One of the things that he tried to impress upon everybody and indirectly intimidate everybody was his massive army. If anybody comes into our country, it'll be the mother of all wars. In less than 90 days, it was done. And as soon as foreign troops hit the ground, Sodom's great army, all you could see was their bottom of their feet and their elbows going in the opposite direction. Period. Is anything too hard for God? And we, no, nothing. But we look there in verse 33, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way he came, the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant's sake. So you read in verse 37 to 38, basically the summary. Devastation, deportation, and death. His sons, death at the hands of his own sons. You talk about a loving family. There you got it. Now, concerning the hook, Sennacherib's nose may have been rather large, at least perceptively. The enemies of God in any era, whether in Hezekiah's time or whether in Ronald Reagan's time or Bush 1's time or Bush 2's time or Bill Clinton's time or Barack Obama's time. The enemies of God in any era would take a lesson here and profit, which is they need to keep their big noses out of God's affairs and leave his children alone. Herein is a word to he who would think himself wise today. The hook of the Lord likely works in the same way with big ears, which is a caution, I think, to the modern day Sennacherib. Keep your nose out of God's affairs and leave God's children alone. In the meantime, when faced with the Sennacherib, what do we do? Well, be anxious for nothing. Not one thing. Not one thing. Cast all your Sennacheribs on the Lord, for he cares for you. And just remember that your God is not like the gods that Sennacherib defeated on his way to Jerusalem. There is none like him, and nothing is too hard for him. That's our God. We win. Everybody else loses. Would you pray with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your shield above us, your omnipotent arms around us. We thank you for the blessing of your word. We ask your Heavenly Father that this word, so easily read in the English language, might come into the hands of people who sit in the darkness. Important people, very prominent individuals, that their eyes might fall upon the light, and that the Spirit of grace might open their hearts, that they might truly see and truly be wise. And we ask your Heavenly Father that as occasion arises and you give us opportunities, help us to be quick to take the light to where it is the darkest of all. And help us to be urgent about it, to be consistent about it for Jesus' sake. We ask this in his name. Amen. Thank you, Father.